evening. This is Aliska van 't Voort for From the Frontline. Tonight in the studio we have Dr. Hammond, and we're going to talk on chaos ensues when a church becomes non-essential. Dr. Hammond, we've seen criminality and chaos ensuing in our country today. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes, it's ostensibly because the previous president, Jacob Zuma, was imprisoned for contempt of court for 15 months sentence at this moment. And on that pretext, because I don't believe that is the real reason, we have seen massive amounts of chaos and mobs all over the country. But we're not just talking about blocking major roads, burning vehicles, burning trucks, but entire shopping centers being looted, where there's not a single shop untouched, where video crews have gone through and you can see nothing on any shelf. Even a pharmaceutical shop like Dis-Chem, Clicks, absolutely looted. And there's entire shopping malls gutted in Soweto and other areas like this, where they've said, we've just spent 100 million rand to open up the shopping center there. We're not going to reopen again. We're not going to repair and rebuild because we can't operate like this. And so the local community is going to have to travel further to get services. Now there's entire shopping chains that have said, we're closing, we can't even supply, the trucks are being burned on the roads, all the supplies, and therefore people are just going to be doing without a whole lot of products, and many people live from hand to mouth and need to go to the shops regularly, and they're just going to be short because this is chaos. And it's throughout, particularly KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng area around Johannesburg have been the worst hit, but it may spread. And particularly because the police and army are doing so little about it, that we've got the shop owners saying that this is a disaster after the lockdown lunacy, after all the restrictions and closing which have suffocated business and stifled the economy, and the rand has plummeted just overnight because of this violence. The rand is plummeting in international confidence. The investor confidence is being shattered. People are cancelling plans of coming to South Africa on holidays, and it is quite catastrophic because it would seem to us that our government is failing in its primary duty, which is protecting life and property.
Oh, that is shocking. And it seems like people are losing direction, like people are being confused, and that is also being mirrored from the government. That is, they're following what the government is doing. When we see confusion and no direction in the government, that's what the people is going to fall into. So, Dr. Hammond, why do you think this is happening? Why are people reacting to it like this?
Well, in a phrase, it's God's law or chaos, and God's law has been rejected, and so chaos is natural because the government has long ago abandoned anything logical or consistent or reasonable, so that they've got these arbitrary things that the churches are non-essential. You can't meet for church. But casinos are fine. Casinos can stay. The abortion clinics can stay open, but the churches must stay closed. Oh, even now, well, restaurants can be open to 50% capacity, which is an improvement on all restaurants being closed, but the churches are still closed. And yet many churches are large and could easily accommodate a huge amount of people still with social distancing if that was necessary. Mm. And yet the complete inconsistency, the irrationality that we would see, the same government who could mobilize the whole military to force people to stay in their homes during the hardest lockdown of level 5, where they were literally shooting people to save them from contracting a virus, which they'd have a 99% chance of survival from, but literally shooting people for breaking curfews and so on, when they can't mobilize the army to defend entire shopping centers from being gutted and looted. They can't mobilize the army and police to deal with real gang violence and mobster violence and destruction of life and property. That's not important. But they could mobilize the entire military and police forces to keep people off beaches during the heats of summer, to arrest tourists for walking on the beach, to arrest people for walking their dog, to arrest people for running around an empty field for exercise, and where they could mobilize hundreds of police to go to the beachfronts to stop people from going on the beach or to force them to leave at 5 p.m. The arbitrariness. Nobody respects the law when they can't see a consistency or a logic behind it. And when it's totally arbitrary that, well, you can go and do what you want until 9 p.m., but 9 p.m., suddenly you've got a curfew. And then you can go to the beaches now, but then you can't then. And during the heat of summer, you couldn't go to the beaches. But now it's freezing winter. No, now you can go to the beaches. And how can people respect these laws? They're irrational. But the prejudice against the church, and this is deeply disturbing because it doesn't matter that we've got some churches that are 5,000, 10,000 seated churches, massive churches. And even when they relaxed the lockdown, you couldn't have more than 200 people in the church that might seat 5,000, for example. And yet you could have a casino and you can have macro piled high. And for that matter, planes. We've traveled on aircraft where every single seat was taken. There was no social distancing on the aircraft. We wedged in, we shoehorned in, where you've got trouble with space with the elbows because everyone's elbows locking with one another as you sandwich in these seats. So the aircraft can be full, but a church can't even operate. And even against outdoor meetings, and it's insane. So to think that we've got a government that's completely lost the plot, they don't, and it's not just South Africa, this is all over the world. You see this kind of irrationality where they've forgotten what's their first duty? To protect lives and property from criminality and violence, to protect from external invasion through defense and internal crime through law and order and justice. And so instead of enforcing justice and respect for life and property, what they're doing is masquerade madness and pandemic panic propaganda and mandatory vaccination mentality and lockdown lunacy. And the police and army seem to have squandered the respect they used to have in society by locking up people for no good reason. And now, people can loot your shops and gut your communities and burn out trucks and literally close entire national freeways and autobahns, and that's not a problem, and they can't mobilize the army for that, but they can mobilize to keep people from walking the dogs and going on the beach in the heat of summer. So I think right now, respect for life and property is down, respect for the police and army is down, respect for the government is gone, and it just looks like the lunatics are running the asylum.
Yeah, that's shocking. And you see, as you said, a lot of mixed messages coming from the leaders. And in that, I think you can see the spiritual warfare going on as well. Satan is crafty and sneaky. There's so much confusion going on that the church being closed can kind of fit into that, merge into that without people realizing the danger behind that, the spiritual danger behind that. And how would you say should the churches respond to this?
Well, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And what is our highest priority as Christians? Well, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves. The Lord has said, if you love me, obey my commands. What's the Lord's greatest commandment? The Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, to teach obedience to all things the Lord has commanded. Now, when we've been commanded to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, when we've been commanded to preach the gospel to every creature, when we've been commanded to make disciples of the nations, to preach repentance and a forgiveness of sins to all nations, and now churches suddenly accept, we're non-essential. Wait a minute, how can the gospel be non-essential? How can worship be non-essential? How can churches accept, we're going to meet, but nobody's allowed to sing? Or only the pastor's allowed to sing? Or you've got to wear masks the whole way through the service and you're not allowed to sing? Or if the choir can sing, they've got to sing with masks on. Who's making up these rules? And is there any science behind it? Does it make any sense? Is it logical? Is there any evidence that that can save people's lives? Because I can tell you of a whole lot of ministries and missions that haven't been following the masquerade madness, haven't been following the social distancing madness, have continued to operate, and they haven't come down with any epidemic and pandemic, and they haven't been dying all over the place. So why are the others depriving themselves of oxygen and suffering CO2 overdose and literally starving themselves of fresh air? Why are we stopping the essential work of the church? Do you know that we've now got epidemics of suicides? Vast amounts of medical crises and depression is going on all over because people are not engaged in healthy activity. Many aren't doing their jobs, but worse than that, imagine telling someone you're non-essential, your work is non-essential, your whole life purpose is non-essential. And by the way, worship is non-essential, fellowship with other Christians is non-essential, and preaching the gospel is forbidden, and you're not allowed to be doing door-to-door, and you cannot visit your family, and you cannot even visit your grandmother who may be dying in hospital. No visitors allowed. And who makes up these rules? And it's insane, because if you think of our society or our congregations or our communities like a body, can you shut down a whole bunch of the organs of your body or two-thirds of the functions of your body and expect to live? No. It's catastrophic. And so how can an economy survive? How on earth is any business meant to survive while they've got to pay taxes and rates and rent, and then they're not allowed to operate and they can't be open for business and they can't have customers and not allowed to market and they're not allowed to sell? But now the trucks that are meant to be bringing in their supplies get burned out, and now the shop itself gets looted, and the police stand by, the same police who are arresting people for walking their dogs or walking without a mask or running around an empty field, they stand by while mobs loot your shops and gut everything. This is just absolutely, how can anyone respect these authorities? They're not doing their primary duty. And I feel a huge amount of the blame is on churches accepting the designation of you're non-essential. Worship is non-essential suddenly. God is not essential. Fellowship, loving your neighbor is non-essential. Is this possible? Missions and the Great Commission is suddenly non-essential. Says who? People in politics who've been proven to be corrupt and they're inefficient. They can't keep the water running. They can't keep the electricity on. They can't determine between right and wrong. They want to tell you that an untried, untested vaccine, which actually has more chance of damaging you than the virus, should be something everyone takes. Now, why would you even trust their judgment when we can see how they've been ruining our society? And this is these same people who said just 3 weeks, just to flatten the curve. And here we are, what, 17 months later?
Oh, that is shocking. As well, as you said, if the church sees themselves as non-essential, then we probably are. And that is so sad to think about, us missing the call, missing what is God saying in his word to us. Come together, fulfill the Great Commission, keep his law. So how do we keep before us clearly what God is stating in the midst of all this chaos? How do we live out what God is calling us to as Christians in this world now?
There have been crises before. Gee, the church has lived through the bubonic plague, for goodness sakes. And the bubonic plague was vastly worse than this. One-third of the total population of Europe died in the bubonic plague. And most people died within 2 or 3 days of contracting the plague. It was that deadly. It was that visible. There were some communities where three-quarters of the population of a city died, but it was one-third of the total population of Europe. And so in the bubonic plague, do you know there were people, well, people came to Christ such as John Wycliffe, professor of Oxford University, but during some of the outbreaks of the plague, there were well-known missionaries, pastors, professors, such as Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli, who went into the community, ministered to the people of the plague. And the plague was vastly more contagious than what we're dealing with here with this. And they didn't have the personal protection equipment and the masks and the gloves and everything else that we deem so essential. But do you know Martin Luther turned his home into a hospital with vast amounts of people coming in who had the bubonic plague while his wife was pregnant? I mean, just think of the risks being taken in this. So the church has never stopped because of that. When the Spanish flu hit, which killed something up to 100 million people in the world between 1918 and 1919, Spanish flu killed more people in the First World War. And yet that didn't stop the work of missions. People like C.T. Studd and Mary Slessor continue to work despite all the chaos going on out there. And for us, I think what's gone on now is unprecedented. Never before in history can I think of a time when hundreds of thousands of congregations voluntarily shut because the government told them to. Yeah. It's not even during the worst days of the communist persecution of Mao Zedong and the Cultural Revolution China, or the Red Terror of Ethiopia, or the terror of Stalin and the persecution church. Not during the worst times of persecution did so many churches voluntarily close. This is just staggering. It just shows the power of propaganda and panic and fear. Mm. And notice how it starts. It starts off with fear, fear, fear. We're all going to die. Hundreds of millions of people are going to die of the coronavirus. I mean, that's what they're telling us March 2020. Everyone's going to die. You're all going to die. Just hundreds of millions of people can die. That's what they were telling us. And they were showing us faked propaganda pictures, which were plainly acted, as we can see from time since, of people just falling over and dying in the streets in Wuhan, China. And like, this is coming to a neighborhood near you. Well, it never even happened in Wuhan, China, let alone here. So this was acted out. They literally scripted out, acted things and presented on news as though it was fact. And it wasn't. And so after all the fear and pandemic, then they tried shame, that you are being selfish if you won't play the masquerade and if you won't do. And then they tried celebrity endorsements. And so, you know, this celebrity or this actor or this screen person or this sportsman, they say this, and so you've got to do this, and they got the jab, so you must get the jab, and so on. They tried propaganda. They tried bribery. There's place offering you free donuts and free tickets for different sports shows and so on if you'd get the vaccine. They tried all sorts of things. And now it doesn't seem to work. Now they're trying to use compulsion. And that you will lose your job. You will not be allowed to travel. You will not be allowed to work in this business. You will not be able to go to school or college. And so there's if this is so important, why would you need to use compulsion and propaganda? If, for example, I've never needed celebrity endorsement to go and buy quinine to counteract malaria. I've never needed celebrity endorsement and propaganda or even advertising to go and buy mosquito nets because, well, I know I need that. You know, we go into malaria areas, and so mosquito nets and quinine is a good idea, and insect repellent. I don't need some celebrity endorsement and government threatening and mandating, you must get a mosquito net and you have to have quinine and you must have insect repellent. It's bizarre. These people have got asthma pumps. Nobody needs to bully them to get the asthma pumps. They know it's essential for their survival. Mm. This is unprecedented that governments like the United States government literally have put $2 billion, that's billion with a B, $2 billion into just advertising to market the vaccine to the what they call the vaccine hesitant group. Vaccine hesitancy, that sounds like you're standing on a diving board, you're about to dive in the pool, but you're hesitant. You're going to dive in, but you're just hesitant. Whereas there's a lot of people who are not vaccine hesitant. They determined, I will not take an untested vaccine for which the producers have actually got for themselves immunity from liability, that they cannot be prosecuted nor be held criminally liable for anything like blindness, paralysis, death, and other side effects of the vaccines. And why would I trust a vaccine that these liars and corrupt politicians are pushing upon us? And when these vaccine companies are serial repeat criminal convicted felons, because all of these groups, whether you're talking about Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, they've paid billions of dollars in fines, in admission of guilt in the United States courts alone for lying and for killing people and for all the terrible things that have happened as a result of other products they produce, not vaccines, because they've got liability, immunity from liability for that, but other pharmaceutical products they produce. Why would you trust serial criminal felons who've been proven in court to be criminal enterprises? Why would you trust them with a product where they have got not only billions in profits, but they've got liability from the legislatures, from any immunity from liability? So this, to me, is deeply disturbing. And when you look at this, you say, if only the government would protect and serve, and if only the churches would be free to concentrate on discipling the nations and teaching obedience to all things the Lord has command, and if educators would stick to educating, not indoctrinating, educating, and if entertainers would just entertain and not propagandize and promote a political agenda. And it seems to me that if we would be able to all concentrate on our fields, and if the medical people would concentrate on treating people with disease and not bullying and promoting things that are highly questionable and controversial, and banning and deplatforming doctors and nurses by the thousands who are questioning and challenging the official narrative. It seems very hard to know who can we trust right now, because so many occupations and professions have been heavily corrupted and I think exposed by this whole scamdemic worldwide lockdown lunacy. So that right now, who can you trust?
Oh, that is shocking. And as you said, the focus is being lost, and the church's focus should be essentially the love of Christ, sharing that. And it was such a testimony to hear about Martin Luther in the middle of this plague, taking people in and caring for them, showing the love against all risks happening anyways. Now, today, if we would do that, even our brothers and sisters and grandparents, family members, uncles and aunts in the church, brothers and sisters in faith would shame us for not wearing a mask, for actually being unloving when we're actually sharing the love of Christ. How do we respond to that?
Oh, where do you start? You've got to, of course, start with what the scripture actually teaches us. And how can any government countermand the commands of our Lord Jesus? When our Lord has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations, to teach obedience to all things he's commanded, who has the authority to countermand it? The World Health Organization, the United Nations, I mean, do they have higher authority than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Eternal Judge? How is it possible that we can have any political entity or NGO or medical would-be dictators to say to you, no, you mustn't do what the Lord Jesus has commanded, you mustn't care for your flock, you mustn't do what the church has been doing for centuries, millenniums even, you've got to do what we tell you to do. Why? Well, even though everything they've said is a lie and has been proven false, you know, we haven't had the hundreds of millions die. COVID isn't the apocalyptic scenario that they've said. In fact, there's many bacteriologists, virologists, medical specialists, there are thousands of them who say that this is one big scam, there's the biggest overreaction in history, and it's not justified. And then there's whole countries like Sweden who didn't even have a lockdown and did no worse than countries like Great Britain, who had the most severe lockdown, and therefore Sweden came through the whole pandemic without economic suicide and chaos being caused, because they just said, well, it's up to each individual citizen to decide how well they apply the sanitizing and the social distancing and so on. But they didn't close down anything. Not sports events, not restaurants, nobody's businesses, and they just left everything voluntary. Now, that seems to be the logical thing. It's not government's task to tell people, your work is essential, your work is not essential. Mm. You can do this then and this way, and you can't. And show me your papers when you travel. Mm. But that's not the task of government. And so right now, what we've got to do, I think, is teach people again, what is the duties of government biblically. What is the duty of the family? What's the duty of the church? We've all got an important function. I can't say, you know, I think the heart and the brain are important, but the liver and the kidneys aren't important. Let's shut down the liver and the kidneys. We'll see how well that goes. You won't last very long. You can't shut down any part. You know, I don't think the lungs are that essential. Let's just close the lungs off, shall we? And you can't do this to a body. You can't do it to an economy. You can't do it to community or society. Mm-hmm. And now I think with the absence of the church, in most cases, the vast majority of church are not functioning at any normal way in the last 17, 18 months. We know of whole churches, missions, and Bible colleges that have failed to conduct outreaches during this lockdown time. And that's tragic. You think of the prisoners who used to receive regular visits, and prisoners haven't been allowed to receive visitors during lockdown. People in hospital couldn't receive visitors. There are people who've died without their children or grandchildren being able to visit them in the hospital. There's people who've had children born in the hospital and the relatives weren't even allowed to be there. We had one of our grandchildren born during this lockdown, and we as grandparents were not allowed to be at the hospital to even visit. And now that's not as bad as people being at the deathbed of a relative, but it's wrong to just undermine the community. And now we see how important it is. My wife's been in hospital 5 times in the last year. And I've asked, no chaplains visiting, no chaplains allowed to visit, can't even ask for a chaplain to come and visit by bed. Now, my wife's got a strong faith, but how many other people in hospital need that? I remember when my mother was in hospital, and she was told she must have an abortion, which was with me, because she had been taking thalidomide tablets. This was back in 1959, and I was born January 1960. And so they were saying, you've got to have an abortion. My mother was being pressured and bullied. You must have an abortion because all babies born from those who've taken thalidomide tablets to counteract morning sickness, the babies are born deformed. And she called for a chaplain and after prayer with him, felt that she could go ahead with the birth. Mm. Now, how many people have been denied being able to call on a chaplain? Yeah. But you're talking about hundreds of thousands of tragedies all over the world without the church being allowed to do its job. And I would think in every case, the church should have countermanded with, we must obey God rather than man, taken it to court, whatever. But they cannot lock us all up. We cannot allow any group of politicians or medical dictators to shut down the church and to abolish the Great Commission.
Yeah, and right now that is so essential. Darkness is at a high point. It's raising, and the churches are actually shutting down their lights. We're not obeying the commandment of being a shining light. Rather, we're saying, okay, let's put a bucket over that. And that is so sad. And in education, how do we put that out? How do we respond to that?
I'm deeply concerned about our schools, because when you just see the scenes that we've been seeing today, sometimes looks like an entire community looting a truck or going into shopping centres and looting everything off the shelf so that there's nothing left in entire shopping centres. Everything's been stripped and broken and destroyed or stolen, and police in many cases standing by. The same police who would arrest you a short while ago for not wearing a mask. And here the looters aren't wearing masks, but somehow or another that doesn't matter. But if you would try and take your family to the beach during the heights of summer, they would have arrested you. But they can stand by and see entire shopping centres looted. Hundreds of millions of rands of equipment stolen in a matter of a couple of hours. And when you look at this, think, but what kind of education did these children receive? What did they receive from their family? What did they receive from the local congregation? What did they receive in local school? How can so many tens of thousands of people have so little respect for life and property and so little love for their neighbor that they'd be willing to destroy people's businesses, steal people's livelihoods, and enrich themselves at others' expense? It's selfish, it's lawless, it's godless, it's wicked, it's evil, it's greed, it's envy, it's all the deadly sins right there that the Bible condemns. So I would say this is a failure of government, it's a failure of police, it's a failure of the criminal justice system, it's a failure of the church, but it's also a failure of the schools. What have the schools been teaching? Are they so wrapped up in gender confusion and social engineering for some kind of socialist and evolutionary situation ethics kind of vision that they've forgotten basic things like love your neighbor and respect life and property?
Oh, that is shocking. And that is, as you say, we are not fulfilling the biblical law, not obeying that. So who can we trust when this is happening, when this is all going on? Where do we turn to?
Well, I don't know how we can trust the medical professionals anymore. Abortion, euthanasia, chemo, mandatory masks, lockdown lunacy, vaccinations, pandemic panic, paranoia, propaganda, literally turning against and shutting down or kicking out tens of thousands of medical professionals who are speaking against the madness and the insanity and the narrative and the propaganda. And it looks like the medical malpractice and deceit, the false predictions, the Faucis of this world, the frauds and failures, and then this toxic DNA-altering so-called vaccination, which is not really a vaccination by definition, but it's something very dangerous to think of the amount of people who are putting the credibility online by promoting this. What is going to happen if there start to be some serious consequences? Like, the medical people were fully endorsing thalidomide. Thalidomide is guaranteed safe way to protect you from nausea and all the side effects of pregnancy. And they were promoting in 1958 and 59. And whoops, then they found out, oh dear, we didn't anticipate this. Babies have been born without arms and legs. they were wrong. That's not the only one. There have been catastrophic medical malpractices that have happened. Now, this untested, it's not FDA approved or Food and Drug Administration approved in America. This is not a credible vaccine. This is a DNA altering. Nobody can possibly predict what the consequences are going to be. Already there's people who've died from it. There are thousands of cases of people who've died from the vaccine. there are airlines in Europe, such as Spanish and Aeroflot of Russia, who's saying anyone who's got the vaccine is not allowed to fly in the aircraft. That's correct. Anyone who has the vaccines not allowed to fly in the aircraft because of the massive increase in blood clots and strokes and heart attacks in especially young men under 40, who have had the vaccination. Therefore, they don't want taking them up to high altitudes, which aggravate it. Now, you can't foretell all the anticipated consequences. One doesn't know what the effects are on sterility. There's a great amount of reports that people are who take the vaccine are becoming sterile, but still too early to confirm that. It's going to be years before we know the full impact of this. There, for example, back in 2003, the American military mandatorily gave everybody a vaccination, which now most of the people who got that are on all kinds of disability. They, from a mandatory vaccination that was forced on the military in 2003 in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we don't know what the consequence of an untested vaccine type of product like this is. But to tell people you must have it put into your body, or you can't work in this company, or you can't fly on this airline, or you can't study at this college, are they going to cover the medical consequences? Are they going to pay compensation to the families if something, when something comes out, find out all the side effects and the dangers as a result? So right now, I think the medical profession has disgraced itself by being not just gullible, but allowing the globalists to promote an agenda which is definitely not in keeping with the Hippocratic Oath. And as far as the entertainment industry, you know, forget the Harvey Weinsteins, the Bill Crosbys, the pedophiles, the predators and perverts and the Roman Polanskis and the defilement and disastrous distractions that they've done and how they've promoted pornography and perversion, but how the entertainment industry has now prostituted itself to promote the agenda of the globalists and the lockdowns and the masquerade and all the way through the vaccinations. As for the news media, the bulk of the mainstream media, deceit and disinformation has become par for the course. Project Veritas in America has exposed with undercover filming how so many of the top media execs of the big tech running media, that they were actively censoring other opinions. They were working to alter the results of people's perceptions, promote candidates for elections, destroy the reputation of others that they didn't like. And they meant to report the news without fear or favor, and yet they've been proven to be mostly propagandists. As for the educational institutions, much of what they call education isn't education. It doesn't teach critical thinking. It teaches indoctrination. But the religious leaders, it's not just false prophets and false teachers and false preachers and the World Council of Churches and corruption, word of faith, deception, so on. Now we've got how many religious leaders who are now guilty of cowardice? Cowardice in keeping quiet when they know something's wrong, or cowardice in the face of the enemy. You know, historically in the army, cowardice in the face of the enemy is death penalty, firing squad, put against the wall. Cowardice in the face of the enemy during the worst deception operation in history, something that has shut down the church's witness and closed more churches during Easter and Christmas even than anything else in history, not even the Cultural Revolution of China, not Mao Zedong of China, not Stalin, not Nero. None of them succeeded in closing as many church services as this globalist lockdown has done. And yet, most church leaders have said nothing. Either they agree or they're too cowardly to disagree. And praise God for the bold, brave exceptions. But sadly, it's a small minority. And, well, as for the politicians, shocking. Even opposition leaders who should know better should have been standing up and saying, no government has the right to violate the Bill of Rights. Freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of worship, freedom of association, freedom of movement. These freedoms, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of opinion, freedom of expression, these are inviolable freedoms. Without these freedoms, you don't have freedom. No government has the right to produce any legislation that infringes on this. And any law that violates the Bill of Rights is no law at all, and it's invalid. Where are the political leaders with the backbone to stand up and say this? This is a crisis. And you find out the flavor of a tea bag when it's in hot water. And in any crisis, well, a crisis reveals your character.
Yes, yeah, and are we going to be strong tea or weak tea? That's basically the question. How would you respond to, let's say, a pastor or a church saying that it is all in God's hands? God will fight for us. We can be biblical in obeying the government. They pull a lot of verses from the Bible for that, and then saying the rest is in God's hands. We can surrender that. How do we respond?
Well, we have to do everything we can before we have the right to trust God for what is out of our hands. And so duty is ours. Duty is our responsibility. The result's in God's hands. And so I cannot justify disobedience to the scripture or sins of... And remember, it's not just sins of commission, it's sins of omission. In Matthew 25, our Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear that on the day of judgment, we will be judged not so much in terms of the bad we've done, serious as that is, but the good we failed to do. Look at Matthew 25. If you've got a red letter edition, look what Jesus said. And he said, you did not visit the sick. You did not visit those in prison. You did not care for those in need. Depart from me, cursed, in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so what the Lord is saying on Day of Judgment is, if you don't care enough to obey the commands, and what is real Christianity? To care for widows and orphans in their distress, to keep ourselves from being corrupted by the world. I mean, these are biblical definitions. We've got to love God, love our neighbor. We're commanded to praise the Lord every day, to praise the Lord in the assembly of the saints, to not forsake the assembling together of one another. There's so many commands in the Bible relating to our responsibility to God and to our neighbor and to the Great Commission and to the church as a whole and to the local congregation, but those are being sidelined and ignored. And then they're trying to take a few out of context as though the government's got the right to supersede and overrule God and abolish the Great Commission or suspend it. No, no, no. We've got to answer in the words of John and Peter, when the Sanhedrin command them not to preach and teach in Jesus' name, they said, we must obey God rather than man.
Yes, and that is so important for us to keep reminding ourselves that all it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing, is something you often say. And so, Dr. Herman, just in maybe concluding, how can we keep, as Christians, how can we fellowship together, how can we keep the main thing.
Well, learning from the persecuted church. And of course, our mission has for 39 years been focused on serving the persecuted church. And our previous chairman of the board, Bill Bathman, my father-in-law, spent 67 years in ministry, most of that time serving persecuted churches behind the Iron Curtain, Eastern Europe, and all the way through to China. Well, from the persecuted church, we learned the importance of home fellowships. The first mission I worked with, Hospital Christian Fellowship, had the emphasis on reaching medical personnel because they said, Francis Grimm often said, the founder of HEF, communists may close churches, but they cannot close hospitals. And so every hospital should have a vibrant Bible study and prayer fellowship of believers in that hospital, so that would be the ongoing witness, even if church are closed. So I think home fellowships, Bible study and prayer fellowships, in your workplace, in your place of study, wherever you are, if all of us can start a Bible study and a prayer fellowship. It doesn't need to be big. Well, either start one or join one. If there's one you can join, join it. If there isn't one, start one. And if you don't know where to start, contact us. We'll send you guidance on Bible studies and how to start a Bible study and prayer fellowship or a Reformation Society or a transformation team or whatever it is that you need in your group. But let's turn our homes into places for Bible study and prayer. Let's turn our workplaces into it. If we can't meet in the main churches, well, then the house churches need to take over, which is what happened in Eastern Europe. This is what happened in the persecuted churches, what happened in China, that most of the 120 million Christians in China today are members of the house churches, because it's not legal to meet in the main assemblies and churches. And for that reason, the house churches or the home fellowships and the home Bible study and prayer fellowships become the backbone of the church. But we must not abandon assembling together. So I think there's a lot we can learn. If you visit the www.frontlinemissionsa.org website, you will see great resources, videos, audios on a balanced biblical response to the pandemic. You'll see on learning from the persecuted church and also what we can do to work for Reformation Revival today. And as we are coming out of a 3-week intensive Great Commission course, we're uploading a lot of lectures we've been giving at this time, audio, video, PowerPoint in different ways from different speakers dealing with aspects of how to fulfill the Great Commission. Christ's last command must be our first concern. The Lord's Great Commission must be our supreme ambition.
Yes. And then just as a closing, I'd like to read from Hebrews 10, fitting onto the Great Commission, going out, meeting together. Hebrews 10 from verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the day is drawing near. We need to live with eternity stamped on our eyelids, and we need to know that the church is going to go through times of persecution. We can't neglect meeting together. We can't neglect obeying God's word. So that was from the front line on Chaos Ensues When the Church Becomes Non-Essential. Good evening, and may God bless you with wisdom and strength.